The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What about when your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Friday, September 6th, 2019. I am Dave Biddle. Very happy to be joined by Steve Hellwagon. Steve, UC coming here tomorrow, high noon. Buckeyes favored by 16.5 points. You know, just your general impressions of this game, just kind of what you expect to see tomorrow.
Dave, I'm excited about this game because I think this is a litmus test game for Ohio State, and it comes in week two. It's not a Big Ten game. And yet, it's going to have a Big Ten feel to it because of the physicality that Cincinnati's going to bring to the table. I think they're going to hit Ohio State and try and hit them in the mouth and try and bully the bully, and we'll see how Ohio State responds. It is a young team for the Buckeyes in a lot of positions and a lot of guys that have never really played a lot of football, including the quarterback, Justin Fields. So, if they can get to Fields, which Florida Atlantic did a few times last week, it'll be interesting to see how Fields responds and how the Buckeyes respond, knowing that this team's not going to back down. In the last 13 months, they've beaten UCLA twice, and they've beaten Virginia Tech. And people will say, UCLA is not that good, but they are a Power 5 conference team with Power 5 athletes and linemen and everything else. And UC took care of business both times they played them, beat them by more than a touchdown both times they played. So this is a respectable team just outside the national top 25 right now. And certainly if they win, it would put them in position to be in a New Year's Six Bowl. And I just think that, they've got everything to gain and nothing to lose by playing Ohio State, and that's when an opponent can be extremely dangerous.
Yeah, they've got a good quarterback, third-year sophomore Desmond Ridder, who was good as a redshirt freshman last year, really established himself. Michael Warren, their running back's really good. He's a junior, former Mr. Football young man from the Toledo area. Well, I think Ohio State could get some damage done, though, when UC has the ball. I think we all know Ohio State's defensive line is excellent. We'll see if they get Tyreek Smith and Tyler Friday back tomorrow. I don't think they'll get Jonathan Cooper back. But either way, I mean, because I said it during, it's obvious I wasn't the only one saying it, but that defensive line could lose like four or five guys and still have a lot of depth. You know, and I was kind of kidding when I said it, but they lose three guys, and Ohio State's defensive line still is outstanding and has tons of depth. Especially if they get Tyreek Smith back and Tyler Friday, I think they can really do damage against UC's offensive line. Now, UC's offensive line is big. They played pretty well against UCLA, but they only have two returning starters from last year, so they're still pretty green, especially this early in the season. So I think Ohio State's veteran, deep, talented defensive line can really do some damage against Cincinnati's O-line. Although, as I said, I like Ridder and I like Warren a lot for the Bearcats.
Yeah, I agree with you. I rewatched the UCLA game, and the thing that stood out to me was how unflappable that Desmond Ridder was. He is very athletic for a big guy, probably in the 6'4", 220 range at quarterback, and he is able to get outside the pocket and extend plays. He converted last year. Cincinnati was in the top 20 or something nationally in third down conversions, and that was with a rookie quarterback. And he, in the first game, they were 8 of 16, and I just saw them in the bits that I watched, they converted like 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8. So no situation seems to be too big for this kid, and that's going to bode well for them as they go through their American Conference schedule the rest of the way. And we'll see how it plays out at Ohio State. If the Buckeyes can get them behind down at distance, it's not necessarily over until you get that third down stop. So, to me, I think that that is going to be key in this game. Get off the field on third down. And the other thing is with this kid Ritter is he has added the deep ball to his arsenal. That is something that they worked on at Cincinnati during the offseason. That's something Ohio State's been susceptible to, at least last year. So I guess we'll see if Ohio State's got that completely shored up, and if Arnett and Okuda and Wade and the guys can take care of business on the intermediate to deep ball when this game kicks off tomorrow. That could be interesting as well.
Yeah, and when Ohio State has the ball, I want to focus on that a little bit. I mean, I fully expect Luke Fickell, and they're going to mix things up, but Luke Fickell and Marcus Freeman to make Ohio State beat them with the pass. And Justin Fields has the ability to do that, but do you – and again, I think they're going to mix things up. They're not just going to be like in a bare front the entire game and, you know, eight guys in the box or whatever. But I think there will be – I won't be surprised for them to mix in some bare front and, you know, just, you know, stack the box in general. If they do that, how confident are you that Justin Fields can beat them with the pass? And just what do you expect when the Buckeyes have the ball tomorrow?
I think Fields was impressive last week throwing the ball for the most part. I think Luke Fickell recognized this in one of his comments. He said that when you see a guy from the right hash throw the deep ball down the left sideline like he did to Benjamin Victor, you know he's a guy that's got arm strength and can make all the throws. So I think that they are going to respect what Fields can do throwing the football, and it's going to be on Cincinnati's pass defense, both up front and in the secondary to make plays. What I see with Cincinnati's front is I see a bunch of athletic guys. They roll probably too deep across the front. And, excuse me, what I see are guys that are athletic, but maybe not the biggest defensive line Ohio State's going to play, but they're very active. They move around, and they are going to come from every direction, every angle. And they're, as you said, they're going to mix things up and try and confuse Fields, and it's going to be on recognition, I think, for Ohio State, and make the young guy make a decision, and hopefully, for Cincinnati's sake, they're hoping he makes some wrong decisions in terms of pass protection and where he puts the football. So, to me, that's what's going to be the chess match tomorrow. Marcus Freeman, the former Buckeye, is the defensive coordinator. Obviously, Luke Fickell has his hand on what's going on defensively, and they're very good defensively as well. So, I mean, they made life miserable for the UCLA quarterback, Dorian Thompson, whatever his other name was. He's got three names, so I forget the other name. But he had a miserable game against Cincinnati, completed something like 8 of 27 passes or something, and had two interceptions, lost two fumbles. He was under duress quite a bit. It was sacked twice. So I look for Cincinnati to try and do the same to Justin Fields.
It's Dorian Thompson Robinson. We like to
Thank
use the yes, we like to use the cliche of you know, in sports they drop the ball. He literally dropped the ball a couple of times, like just running around, and then he must have very small hands because he was just trying to go from running to throwing, and he just drops the ball for, and they were like,
yeah,
the UC 20.
Yeah, and the issue was he was trying to do too much. He was not distributing, and that is a hole that you can find yourself in very easily against an aggressive defense where the quarterback feels, oh, I can make this one extra move or this one extra play. You don't need to give extra effort. Just get the ball out on time and play your game, and that's what Fields is going to have to do tomorrow.
Do you think the light has come on for Baron Browning? I know it's one game, but everybody's like, what's wrong with Baron Browning? He's only halfway through his college career coming into this season. He's still just beginning his junior year, but he was the number one rated outside linebacker in the country in that 2017 class, ranked number 11 overall in the country regardless of position. So I can see why obviously there was a lot expected of him. I expected a lot of him. But do you think, although again, with the disclaimer, it's just one game, do you think the light's come on for Baron Browning?
Definitely, and I think that it's a case, my friend Tony White, who played basketball at Ohio State, I heard him give a graduation speech one time, and he said, you know, you're graduating from high school, When you go to an airport, you're going to hear this. The moving sidewalk is ending. Please look down. And that is a tremendous metaphor for Brandon Browning. He's in his third year. The moving sidewalk is ending. Please look down because your college career is slipping right on by, and you need to take ownership of it. And I think that that's what we saw last Saturday. We saw a guy who's not going to be content to watch Tough Borland take all the snaps at middle linebacker. I think it was the third series of the game. He came from the offense's right side of the formation, knifed right through all the traffic, grabbed the ball carrier, and threw him to the ground. And that play really set a tone in my mind, I think, for Ohio State defensively that, last year in particular, that play could have gone for 30 yards. And he had the recognition and the instinct to cut through all of the traffic and go make a play. And that's what has been in short supply for this Ohio State defense, at least in recent, last year. And if he keeps making plays like that, it's going to be tough for Orland watching Baron Browning play, because Baron Browning is a potential star in my mind if he plays up to his capability. So I want to see more of that. I want to see more of him turning it loose and going and making plays. And I think pass defense for the linebackers, the first game was not necessarily the best. I think that Florida Atlantic in that second half hit a couple of plays, particularly their tight end, that they'd like to have back, Ohio State. But I was very emboldened by seeing what he could do. Taraja Mitchell was out there running around. And, it was like a lot of young guys on that defense. It was fun to see him out there playing. But now, go make a play. That's what's most important. So, yes, I think the light bulb has flipped on for Baron Browning, and he can only go up from here.
Yeah, it's exciting. They got so much talent on that defense. I mean, guys, we don't even talk about that much. Like, Sean Wade is going to be an NFL player. I mean, he is another guy from that 2017 class was a five-star recruit, and he's out there a lot. So much talent on this defense, even including guys maybe that don't get enough pub. So it's really exciting if Baron Browning is going to come of age this year. We'll see how he plays tomorrow, because he will be tested. All right, let's get into our predictions. We'll have our complete staff predictions, not just for the final score and stuff like that, but other questions we're going to post later today on Bucknuts. But let's give our final score and how we think this is going to play out. Steve, the floor is yours. Final score of this game.
I'm saying 34-20. I just think that for the first half, this is going to be a tight one. I think Ohio State is going to put some points on the board, obviously, but I think Cincinnati makes them earn everything they get in this game, and I just see a physical, knock them down, drag them out type of game. I know some people I talk to think Ohio State's going to blow them out. I think that'd be Luke Fickell's worst nightmare, is if he comes up here with probably as good a team as he's probably going to coach at Cincinnati, and they don't give Ohio State a good game. But I do believe the physicality of this game is going to be something to watch, and I think that Ohio State's size and depth and speed will wear on Cincinnati, and the Buckeyes will pull away in the second half, and I've got them winning it 34-20.
I have a very similar score. I have 34-17, and you laid it out. I feel the same way. I expect this to be a tight affair. I think that the Buckeyes will eventually out-talent them, but I think there's going to be some nervous moments. Cincinnati's going to come in, with their A game. They're going to, play over their heads for a while. They're going to have a great game plan. Word is that they've been preparing for this game all offseason, which is no surprise. So, yeah, you and I have a very similar score there. You have 34-20. I have 34-17 Buckeyes. I'm sure Ryan Day just wants to get out of there with a win and just move on. So we will see what happens, and we will have full coverage for everybody tomorrow before and after the game. So keep it locked to Bucknuts. Thank you very much to Steve Hellwagon, and thanks to all our listeners out there for tuning into the show. I hope you have a great day and a great weekend. Let's try that Buckeye swag, best damn band in the land.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.